for joining us. It's the April 17th, 2017 business meeting of the Babylon Board of Education. It is hereby called to order. Please rise and join us in the church. Item number four, approval of the minutes of the regular business meeting of March 13, 2017, the work study meeting of March 27, 2017, and special meeting of April 3rd, 2017. Do I have a motion to approve? Mrs. Zalerba, seconded by Mrs. Jones. All those in favor? Motion passes. Item number five, superintendent's report. I'm going to turn it over to Mrs. Rossi, who I believe has lots of students.
Yes, good evening, everybody. We have a number of SCIMEA students here with us tonight. At this time, I'm going to call up Mrs. Angela Turk, if she's here, who can join me up at the front of the room to talk a little bit about their accomplishments.
Sure.
Good evening, everyone. SCIMEA stands for Suffolk County Music Educators Association, and every March they hold their all-county festivals. It's for students in grades 5 through 10, and if a student is selected, it distinguishes them as among the top student musicians in Suffolk County at their age level, and we have a tremendous number this year. We're so proud of them.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, so when we call your name, please join us up here. We'd like to first recognize Ashley Burke. She is here with us today. Gwen Farris. Maya Cotter. Natalia Lutz. Peyton McMillan. Thomas Orr, PC. Okay, Kate, take note.
Two of our students, our seniors, were selected for all Eastern. So after you do the Skamia thing, which is Suffolk County, the next thing as juniors and seniors, they can get selected for all state, which happens up in Rochester. And then if you go beyond that, there's all Eastern, which is the 13 states on the Eastern Seaboard. And we were trying to think back, we haven't had two students selected for all Eastern in over a decade. So we would like to congratulate Lindsay Daly and Emma Schubert.
Probably would be an appropriate time if parents and children want to leave.
Council is starting to plan the annual Powder Puff Game, which is scheduled for May 19th. Students will also be working with the PTSA on the Community Creek Cleanup Day, which will be April 22nd. From our Science Department, congratulations to our Research 11th grade students who represented Babylon High School at the Long Island Science and Engineering Fair. Four total projects represented Babylon at this fair in plant sciences and environmental science categories. Very special congratulations to Paige Bisdick, Sophia Sherman, and Freddie Nocella for placing second in their category at the Long Island Science and Engineering Fair. Their winning project, this is a hard one, so bear with me, tolerance of mentha, piperetta, and osmium bacillium to a high salinity environment in a hydroponic system with the addition of halotolerant Coserta rhizophila bacteria. Involve them conferring salt tolerance to garden herbs by creating a symbiotic relationship between the plants and the species of salt-loving bacteria, which enabled the plants to survive exposure to salt water. Congratulations to all students who presented. Congratulations to our research 10th grade students who represented Babylon High School at the Molloy College High School Science Fair. 4 total projects represented Babylon at this fair in both the biology and environmental science categories. A very special congratulations goes to Captain Bensavanga, Maggie Hogue, and Abigail Erickson, who placed in the top 10% of almost 500 projects present and will be honored at a special award ceremony at Molloy in April. The winning project assessed all tree species at Argyle Lake Park and categorized them as invasive or native species to start identifying how these different species can impact the organisms that rely on the park for habitat and food needs. This is the first year that the 10th graders presented their research at a fair, and they all made Babylon proud. We look forward to the work that all students do in the future. The 10th, 11th, and 12th grade research students have 2 more upcoming competitions. They will be representing VHS at the Long Island Science Congress on April 5th, and at the New York State Science and Engineering Fair on April 24th. Good luck to all students involved. The 10th and 11th grade research students are about to begin working on their Barcode Long Island projects, which is run through Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory. Students have developed a project with the goal of assessing the biodiversity of a group of invertebrates here on Long Island. After developing projects and having the projects reviewed and accepted by Cold Spring Harbor, students collect samples, collect and isolate the DNA, and send the DNA for sequencing. Once the sequencing data is obtained, they are able to create phylogenetic trees showing the evolutionary relationships between the organisms that they study, which helps us all have a better understanding of the environment we are living in. Some projects include testing the biodiversity and macroinvertebrates in Argyle Lake, comparing freshwater and marine algae and ant diversity here in Babylon. This is the second year that Babylon has worked closely with Cold Spring Harbor Lab, and the students will be presenting their findings at the symposium held in the lab, at the lab in June.
From the Fine Arts Department, 21 art students in grades 8 through 12 competed in the NYSADA Olympics of the Visual Arts before the spring break. They competed in the following 7 categories: fashion, drawing, painting, illustration, architecture, photography, and industrial design. The junior high drawing team came in 2nd place in their category. All the artwork can be seen here in the library. From the Leo Club, Interact, Art National Honor Society. Many students volunteered at Babylon Ends Hunger on April 1st, 2017, including students from the Interact Club, Art National Honor Society, and Leo Club. The event, sponsored by the Babylon Rotary Club and Lions Club, packaged 60,000 meals for distribution to local soup kitchens and food pantries, as well as the less fortunate in Haiti. From Babylon Buddies. Babylon Buddies would like to thank the Board of Education to save the date for the Babylon Buddies Got Talent Show, which will be held on May 12th at 6 p.m. in Roll Hall. Tickets are $5 at the door. The Special Education Department, in conjunction with Babylon Buddies, the Grade School Student Council, and the Elementary School Special Class Team, were pleased to participate in World Down Syndrome Awareness Day this past March 21st. On this day, students and staff wore different socks symbolizing our unique qualities and the affirmation that it's okay to be different. In addition to rocking our socks, over $600 was raised for the Association for Children with Down Syndrome. Thank you.
Wait.
What?
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Great detailed report, as always. Okay, a few more items under my report. Obviously, we know that the East School Gradebook Parent Portal went live back before vacation. We're very, very thankful to our teaching staff at the 7 through 12 level, as well as our high school administration and technology department for helping that get off the ground. It took a lot of planning this year, a lot of staff training, but our teachers are showing again that they're more than overly adept at pushing that out with full gusto. So thank you very much. Also, the kids brought up a lot of points I was going to bring up, so I won't reiterate, but we did have the National Junior Honor Society and the National Honor Society induction right before the break, which was lovely. Thank you to our high school team and our teachers, and congratulations to all of the inductees. It was a lovely, lovely night honoring those inductees that evening. Also, this week we have upcoming the elementary parent-teacher conferences this Thursday for half of the afternoon, starting around 11 a.m., as well as all day Friday. And also, the next coffee with the superintendent is Tuesday, April 25th. And we are going to be reaching out to have some students also at that coffee hour. I'll be working with maybe Mr. Cerrone and the high school students to see if we can get students to that event who might not just be, you know, the student council kids too, maybe some other voices if we can. So we look forward to that. And that will be the last coffee hour for the year. But the kids have been great. They've been giving us great input along the way and always a part of what we do here at Babylon. So I want to thank you, Mr. Cerrone, also for encouraging that. That's it.
Okay. So we're going to move to the presentation on the budget. You've got the daily.
Thank you.
This was the first year in the tax cap era that the state legislature failed to meet the April 1st deadline for a budget adoption. So that pushed us and most other school districts a bit behind in our schedule of adopting the budget. Reason being is districts didn't know what they were receiving in one of their larger sources of revenue, which is state aid. For us, we receive approximately 18% of our revenue from state aid. We did not know that the last time we presented the budget, which was a comprehensive review of the budget that is available on the district's homepage. Tonight, what I'm going to do is just present a summary of the slides from the last presentation that have changed as a result of the state budget being adopted for Babylon. What that means in a nutshell for us is we received an additional $80,000 in revenue over what the governor had originally proposed back in December, January actually. So we then went back and we had scenarios based on what ifs. That was last week. So we received 80,000. Let me bring you through and show you what that means for us here locally. This hasn't changed. This is the amount that our tax levy can increase next year based on the tax cap formula. It's 3.66%. Or $1,431,817. That's based on the formula provided by the state. And I want to show you, because this is really the tale of this year's budget. When the voters in this community approved the Project Renewal Bond referendum in, was it December 10th of 2013? They authorized the board to borrow $26.6 million to do the work that you're seeing throughout the district. The flip side of that is they approved it then, but now we have to introduce the cost to finance that construction. In this budget, the 17-18 budget, we're introducing the last part of that debt to fund that project. So you're going to see a significant increase in the debt service line in the budget. The good news, though, is that this tax cap formula recognizes that, and that is what they refer to as an exclusion to the cap. So it's not a 2% cap for Babylon, it's a 3.66% cap, because if you look at this formula, here's the current year's exclusion for debt service. That's the principal and interest to borrow this money. It's $2,079,440. 17-18 budget, the one that the voters are going to the polls on May 16th, that amount is $2.8 million. So the difference between the two is excluded from the cap. So it allows us to go above the 2% and still comply with the law. And that's what we're doing. Now, just for fun, I wanted to show you, we included this in the last presentation, what if we didn't have to go out and borrow more debt? What would our tax cap number look like? And here's what it would look like. Instead of it being 3.66, our maximum allowable tax levy limit would have been 1.72. You see, I just played out the same number with no increase in borrowing. So that increase in borrowing is excluded from the cap, and that's what allows us to present a budget, tax-compliant budget, with a levy increase of 3.66%. Now, what does that mean on the budget? Because you don't go to the polls on May 16th and vote on the tax levy. You're voting on the budget. So what the budget for 17-18 totals is $51,670,849. That's a percentage increase of 2.99% over the current year. And that budget complies with all aspects of the tax cap legislation. Here it is side by side, and what I did put out, I apologize a little bit late, I have a side by side budget from 16-17 to proposed 17-18. You could take that, look at it, you can ask questions, and we'll have another opportunity on May 9th. But right now you can see the largest percentage increases are in instructional media technology, instructional technology. We talked about all of the new instructional technology that will be introduced next year. We're bringing in, I believe, close to $1 million worth of new technology for the one-to-one initiative that students will be have the opportunity to participate in, and it's going to continue to grow. It's very important. It was said the last time, this, in my opinion, is one of the more robust instructional budgets that we've introduced in the tax cap era, and primarily because of that one-to-one initiative. We're setting the stages to continue down the road to bring in the equipment we're going to need to support that initiative well into the future. The other area where you're seeing, of course, the largest increase is the one I talked about. $1.1 million of new capital construction debt. That's where the increase, by and large, is coming from. Total dollar increase, $1,498,666. It represents a 2.99% increase. This is the state aid. This is the current year. The executive budget, when he introduced his budget with state aid to Babylon, it totaled $8.9 million. The legislature adopted the budget last week while we were on break, and that totaled $9,074,862. The total increase is 6.36%, but don't be misled, because the bulk of that increase is in building aid. You have to spend it to get it, and that's increasing because of the increased expenditure in the debt service. This is what our revenue side of the budget looks like, and what we do on the bottom is we project what the passage of this budget would mean on the average home in Babylon assessed at $4,300. That's a mathematical number established by the town of Babylon, not us. We just use that because it is that, the average. If your assessed value is higher or lower, you can do the calculations. But basically, if this budget is passed, it will represent a $7.81 increase on the rate. On a home with an average assessed value of $4,300, it will be an increase of $335.83 for the year, or $27.99 per month. Our budget hearing is scheduled for May 9th. The budget vote and trustee election is May 16th.
May 8th.
What was that?
It's May 8th.
Oh, I didn't change that.
It's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. May 8th. But I do know that the budget election, budget vote and trustee election is May 16th. Does the board have any questions?
I do. I just want to confirm, so when the state met and they determined our additional aid, they didn't change any of the parameters of some of the unfunded mandates or some of the things that
Yes, Don.
Okay, this deficit that we had to make up. How did we make it up?
Okay. When we last met, I presented to the board some what-if scenarios. If we got $100,000 in additional aid, $200,000, $300,000. We had a difference. The delta between where the budget needed to be and where it was approximately $437,000. If you think about the budget in terms of a scale, one side is revenue, the other side is expenditures. At the end of the day, they have to balance. So we were $437,000 off. Whatever we got in revenue, we didn't have to make up in expenditures. We got $80,000 in more revenue. So we had to get the balance, about $333,000, on the expenditure side. I had identified a number of contingent budget codes. These are codes in the budget that it's virtually impossible to pin or nail down with 100% accuracy, but they're codes where we traditionally budget in excess of what we reasonably anticipate the expenditure to be, so that we have that cushion when expenses do materialize that we don't anticipate. We've reduced those codes by the balance of $333,000, none of which will impact the instructional process. And I've identified them for the board. They're all in the, for the most part, the employee benefits area. Did that answer your question?
To elaborate on the employee benefits area.
So
people are very clear that we're not taking away from teachers.
That's right. So teacher retirement system contributions, those that the district pay. Employee retirement system contributions, unemployment insurance, dental insurance, health insurance. Those are the big ones. There were three other codes that we typically budget money for when employees retire and they are compensated for unused sick days per the contract. We budget for that dollar amount. So we've reduced those codes. We reduced approximately 15 codes, a total of $333,000. None of them were related directly to instruction. Yes.
And we were encouraged, through the last audit that we could spend some of those down in terms of workers' comp.
Oh, absolutely.
We followed the directive.
Absolutely.
So we're actually solving a few problems.
That's right. That's right. One of the beauties to having established reserves is that you can fund that expense from the reserve or the general operating budget. Many of the 15 codes that we reduced, we can fund through the reserves that we've established. So again, it's something that we need to, in a managed way, continue to reduce the contingent funds that are in the budget. It's something that the controller has mentioned in our last audit, and we're continuing to move in that direction with this year's budget.
Does anybody in the audience have a question for Dr. Daly? Yes, can you please come up to the podium? Thank you. This is just pertaining to the budget presentation.
Just the budget, I promise.
That's okay. Just want to make sure we all understand.
I read this right. Did I notice a...
Just state your name, please.
John spoke.
Thank you.
Did I see a reduction of 5.64% in special education budget?
You did.
Can you tell me how you justified that? We needed $437,000, and we got $80,000. We needed $337,000. The reduction in the special ed budget comes to $427,000. Wouldn't that make up the money that we needed?
No, because that slide was unchanged when we presented. That slide and the special education budget is based on actual programmatic needs that we've experienced this year and we anticipate needing next year. That had nothing to do. That was done and put together before the governor even released his proposal for state aid. So that had nothing to do with that sort of $437,000 delta.
Okay, I guess I have some concerns because before the end of the year and before IEP meetings are taking place, how can we so accurately know that it's going to be okay to have that kind of reduction in the special education budget?
We know because we have responsible people administering and delivering the services. They know what the children they're working with are going to need. We also budget for, that's the one area of the budget, bar none, that has the largest level of contingent money for the reason you just stated. We don't know now what the needs of the special needs population will be next year. It would be irresponsible of us not to budget an ample amount of contingent funds in those codes for exactly the reason you just mentioned.
Okay. I guess this is going to lead into what I came here to speak about.
Okay.
As well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Could you just tell me what the, I didn't see what the fund balance was that we're applying towards the budget?
We're going to appropriate $1.2 million. In fund balance, an additional $200,000 from established reserves. So the total will be $1.4 million, the same as it was last year.
Okay, do you anticipate us putting that much back into the fund balance?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
We missed you, by the way. I did anyway.
I don't hear that at all.
Yes.
Kevin Timpson. I had a question regarding the, I believe it was a central plan and the maintenance budget.
Okay.
I was interested in understanding the funds that are being allocated for maintenance, specifically of the grade school soccer fields.
Right.
My understanding is that, you know, even though the member of the voters of the district approved the bond that would go towards upgrading those fields,
right,
that's not the case. I understand. But nonetheless, the fields are in terrible shape.
Yeah.
Are we increasing those funds, and what will be addressed to make sure that it's safe and playable? Because in addition to being concerned with the safety of my own children, I'm concerned in terms of liability,
right,
of the school district.
Right. Okay. I'll start by saying we've not in any way reduced what we normally have budgeted for in the area of ground supplies. And certainly, if anything ever, if a situation ever developed out there where we felt it did pose a danger to those people using it, again, we would have to look to contingent codes to do budget transfers to codes that we can expend the money to make that situation safe. Beyond that, we know, it's certainly I know, that that's always a challenge because, as I've said at other meetings, that particular space is utilized by this entire village and not just our sports program. It just gets an awful lot of use, and we know it doesn't drain as well as we would like it to, but from the standpoint of this budget, we've not reduced the codes which support the fields.
Have you increased them?
No, we haven't.
Okay. So, from what you're saying is you're not aware of the situation in terms of those fields and how, in terms of safety concerns, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm well aware of that field.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're not allocating additional funds, is what you're saying. For that.
At this point, no, but that does not mean that the monies that are in there couldn't be allocated from a different facility code to the fields, if need be.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Hi, Carolyn Amelia. I don't know if this is being redundant, but I just looked at something myself on the budget, and under Special Ed BOCES, we went from $3,127,000 to $2,400,000. So that's a difference of $727,000 less we're spending this year on special education BOCES.
Carol, can you give me the page, I believe?
On page 5.
Yeah. You can pass them out to the board. It's on
two,
that.
251,4900.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Let me just get my bearings straight. What you'll notice is, and it was sort of touched upon before by an earlier resident, we have the special education population can receive instruction in a number of different settings. One setting could be here. One setting could perhaps be BOCES. One setting could be a private non-BOCES school, but not here. All of those are coded differently. So what we do is, when we start a budget year, we base the budget on where those children are being educated right now.
So it could have wound up in another
2251. It's absolutely in another code. In fact,
what page?
I'm sorry. This.
It's the one that's
Yeah, I'm sorry. You have a detail. That should have been handed out. That's what the residents have.
So the budget didn't go down by $727,000. It's just someplace else in another line item.
Yes. Overall, the special education budget went down. But that doesn't mean, or you shouldn't interpret that as in any way the services being provided children now or next year are going to be diminished.
That wasn't my question at all. My question was strictly numbers.
Yes.
Strictly numbers, not
it's somewhere
services,
else.
But it's someplace else.
It's someplace else,
okay.
Absolutely.
So is there not a better way to possibly present this budget that's not broken down into so many specific .00s? And
I would
so
love
that.
I would love that. But this budget and the budgets for municipalities are set up in accordance with the Uniform General Municipal Law Uniform System of Accounts. And this is the way all school districts in New York State have to prepare their budgets. Now, certainly it could be presented differently. It could be presented as special ed or regular
one
ed.
One number compared to these.
Yeah.
Out, because if a regular person is looking at this, it looks as though we diminished our budget by $727,000, and that's not.
I get that. Okay. And I've been all over the map with that. I've done very technical, more technical, and been criticized for that, and then they've been too vague and too general. So,
okay.
But yes, it's a
valid
point.
But it's just someplace else.
Got it. Yep.
Thank
you. Good evening. I'm Allison Bridges. I'm actually here regarding the field also.
Mm-hmm. Is this a budget question?
What's that?
Is it a budget question?
It is in that I just want to make you aware of something that is going on with the field, because you're stating that it's a safety issue of choosing not to.
I'm going to need to ask you if you have to wait. Right now, this is just about the budget presentation, so we're just going to need to ask you to wait till the other business portion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, Robin Sebastian. Dr. Daly, can you explain the last two line items in the budget, the interfund transfers?
Sure. Okay, I'll start with the first one, which is the last line item, which is a interfund transfer to the school lunch fund of $50,000. That is a transfer from the general fund to the school lunch fund to help support and subsidize the operations of the school lunch fund. As you know, and many people know, our school lunch program has been operating. We've been having some challenges with the program trying to remain profitable. And as a result, the board has, I think, wisely budgets for a transfer from the general fund to the school lunch fund to help support that program because of the challenges it faces on a regular basis.
Okay, so I know the deficit for the last 2 years has been $50,000 in the school lunch program. Are we anticipating that same deficit, and that's why we are?
I don't know if the deficit's been $50,000, but we have had a deficit for the past 2 years. Perhaps a deficit, but it may right the ship this year, and I think put us on a road to profitability, or at least being closer to operating in the black than we have.
In that case, this $50,000 would just go into fund balance?
Well, the school lunch fund is allowed to have fund balance. It's not nearly as much as it is for the general operating budget, but I think if we ever got to that point where the school lunch fund started to accumulate more fund balance than it should carry in the following budget year, this $50,000 could be reduced to $25,000 or nothing at all.
Has this always been a line item in the budget?
No, it's just the past, I believe it's 2 years.
And I noticed between the last budget presentation and this budget presentation, there's about a $200,000 increase in the employee benefits reserve fund. Can you explain that?
$200,000 increase?
Yeah. Budget numbers that I had from the last time you presented it. So it's in the 90, page 7, 90102030. You have today's budget. I have the one that you presented maybe 2 weeks ago. and since then those numbers have, but, so I'm just wondering, was there additional monies put into those reserve funds?
Can you repeat the total? This is a budget that I, tonight, that I handed out.
No, I have the one from 2 weeks ago.
What does the date say, Mrs. Silvestri? The top left-hand corner.
I think we need Donna back. What's the date on the top of yours there, Donna?
Under this
table?
What did you have tonight? 3/13/17.
So the one from 3/13, the budget numbers from 3/13/17 and the budget numbers from tonight. There's a difference of about an additional $200,000 put into the employee reserve funds.
I would have to go back and look at the 3/13 budget.
I have it here. I just see that myself. So I can give you the exact codes. I'm fine with that. Yeah, this is my office. I did it wrong on that.
And what was the code? Okay.
We have $785,000 in our workers' comp reserve. We have $299,000 in our employee benefits reserve. We have $2,265,000 in our retirement system reserve. And we have $1.9 million in our capital reserve.
Okay. Anything else?
Somebody had just mentioned about seeing the budget in different formats. Last year, I believe, Mrs. Ross, when you first presented the budgets, it came out in three different formats. It was like the 13 line item one, which gives the very general special ed budget is this much this year versus last year. And then there was this, which is the very detailed and almost cryptic version. I know it's the technical version that every school district uses, but in between there was a third version that you had presented last year, that the budget came out in three different ways.
You're talking about the three parts of the budget, the administrative?
Yeah,
always done at the hearing.
Oh, so
that's coming up,
on.
Mrs. Silvestri, on May 8th. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's the official date we have to present the three-part budget.
Yeah, I always find it really confusing because you're approving the budget tonight, but you haven't actually had the...
We're adopting it.
You're adopting
it,
the budget tonight.
Yeah,
as
then you have
a
hearing.
Right?
Yeah.
So then people can come and ask their questions on May 8th, but there won't be any changes based on that.
No,
so
they can decide how they want to vote based on the way that the questions are answered the following week.
But I understand your question. That's the three-part budget.
Yes.
It has to be done at the hearing.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Last call for budget questions. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Daly.
Sure.
Appreciate it. So we're going to move to
to item number six, which are the committee reports. We're going to start with this primary audit.
Okay. The audit committee last met on Monday, March 27th, to discuss the development of a fixed assets policy based on the recommendation of our internal auditors. We'll be meeting again on Monday, May 22nd, to finalize such. We asked our auditors on further recommendations regarding intangible assets and inventory frequency. Once the policy is crafted, we're going to hand that over to our policy committee for further review. Also, we have received correspondence from the New York State Teachers Retirement System. We have a 1 to 2 day audit of our payroll as part of your state pension annual audit that's going to occur. Audits, just to know, of district payrolls have occurred since 2014. This year's get chosen by lottery, and we won this year. So now it's our turn. We expect the auditors to be here sometime in May for about 1 to 2 days, the dates to be determined. We'll let you know.
Thank you. Finance Committee, Mrs. Jules.
As we met tonight to review the final process, as we got the last minute financial aid process. And that's why I say very proud that we came to budget that maintained and was at a program. And I think our team did a great job in cutting little pieces from places that we cut from. And I think we're in good standing. So appreciate that. And at this point, there's not other than skills.
Thank you, Mrs. Doors. Buildings and grounds, Mr. Benson.
Yeah, we met on March 27th. We had an extensive discussion of the waste to fuel process for project. We had the landscape architect from BDS who attended. Wrote schematic diagrams, answered some extensive questions posed by the board and the public about the nature of the projects, some of the details, how it worked. Like I said, intense discussion and debate. The consensus of the board that evening was listed as item 9 on the agenda today, and there was also discussion about the board exploring funding from local and state. I guess government about getting money to perhaps turf that field. So that's where we are with that project right now.
Thank you. Technology, do you want to talk about?
We have nothing to report right now. We'll have a meeting scheduled after the vote.
Thank you. Curriculum,
we are meeting next week. We will start by then. We should have in all the applications from our staff for the RMP grants, so we're excited to see what they have and what we can find, so we will let you know.
And policy, self-effort.
We haven't had a policy meeting since our last board meeting, and our next one is scheduled for June 6th.
Okay. Thank you. I'm just going to turn it over to Mrs. Bozzi for a moment before we get to the agenda items.
Okay, I just want to take this opportunity to say a few words before we get into questions on agenda items. There was a very nice gentleman who came up to the podium just tonight. I think he left the room. But as you know, we are two-thirds into the bond project. We are completing a lot of work this summer and finishing up next summer, right? So that's our timeline. I do want to say, because I think maybe there might be some people here tonight, just to calm everybody's feelings down, but based on the history of how the bids have come in, we've seen them come in a little higher than what the 2012 estimates were that were originally provided by the school architects. So with that said, we will see a resolution tonight. As Mr. Bensavenga just mentioned, there's a resolution that has to reject the grade school bid that has to formally be done because we had companies that bid on that project. But I have to say, it does not mean that the Board of Education District has decided to forego the project. In fact, I would say it simply means that they're postponing it to a later date. I have to just let everybody know that because with the gentleman who just came up, I don't know if people think that it's not never happening, which is not the case. We did look into this legally with bond counsel back last August of 2016, and I asked, I don't know if Mr. Stefanetta is here tonight, but we did get legal counsel on the ability to postpone, and that was the advice of bond counsel at the time.
Would you like to chime in on that?
I would, because...
So, the Board of Education, having a voter-approved bond project, it's within the purview of the Board of Education to determine the priority and the order of the work that's done, as long as it's within the scope of the bond that's approved by the voters and the work that's approved by the voters. The Board of Education, it's my understanding, received a written opinion. They requested and received a written opinion from the bond counsel crafted that voter proposition that the voters approve, and has also rendered an opinion that is within the purview of the board to determine what the order of the work is. And so it's my understanding, based on my discussion with the central office, that the Board of Education has on its agenda tonight a resolution on the recommendation of the superintendent to reject all bids with regard to some specific work within the scope of work authorized by the voters, and that's not to say that that work will never get done. It's simply to reject the bids, because under the general municipal law, when a school district puts out requests for bids on a project, which they have to do because of the nature of the work, the scope of the work, the dollar amount of the work, it's a specific bid opening, and then they have to take action. They either approve the bid or they can reject all the bids. They reserve the right to reject all the bids when they put the bid out for bids by companies. Mm-hmm. So the board received an opinion from its bond counsel, which I share generally, which is that it is within the purview of the school board once a bond project is approved to determine the order of the work that's being done, as long as there's a rational basis for the board's action. I think I just heard the superintendent saying that one of the concerns is that some of the earlier work that's already been done, the work has come back at costs that have exceeded the estimates for that work. And so I'm presuming that the board wants to make sure there's a sufficient amount of money to get work done that might take priority over this or in terms of the time of the work.
Thank you for that explanation. Okay, well, I will just piggyback and say, to your point, I think the reason that people think we're not doing the fields is because somebody is telling them that this rejection kills the project. So again, we're dealing with misinformation that is being put out there in social media by somebody at this table, and that needs to be clarified, it needs to be stopped. There's also been an implication that we are doing something illegal, and that we are tampering with funds. That's been in print and circulating also. So you heard from bond counsel that that's not the case. And so I want that on record, that this board is not acting illegally. This board is making very prudent decisions with the money that is left for the bond project. Just because it doesn't go along with somebody's personal agenda doesn't mean that it isn't illegal action.
So
now we will move to questions from visitors on the agenda
items. So we're going to wait? Okay.
Yeah,
right.
We're going to wait. We're going
right.
to let the public
okay.
speak.
Oh, good. Okay.
So I'm glad you're happy. Yes. Questions from visitors on the agenda items. Please approach the podium and state your name.
Robert Stroh, could you please explain the nature of the item number 7, the memorandum of agreement?
Sure. Okay. Number 7 is a memorandum of agreement. It's an attempt to clean up some prior language in the BTA agreement. The MOA itself is looking at various sections that needed language cleanup. For example, the board at a prior meeting wanted to add assistant track coaches, so we had to put language, Mr. Stroh, in on that. They've talked about paying people who supervise overnight trips, which is new language that has to be in there, because we pay people to supervise students, for example, on weekends on overnight trips. So this MOA adds those pieces of language into it.
Didn't we just renegotiate this contract?
Yes, but this is we do MOAs consistently throughout the year as we update little tiny pieces of the bargaining union agreement.
Okay, my other question is with the rejection of the bid, does anybody anticipate this project getting any cheaper if we wait longer to do it?
Do you have a question? Because your 3 minutes are almost up.
Okay, you can put the timer on for me, that's fine. I would hope that the Board of Education would like to hear from the community.
Oh, we absolutely are very willing to hear from the community.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
The community would like to hear as well.
So could you provide some basis for the rejection of the bids?
Sure.
Can I just say, we have rejected other bids and other projects. We have postponed other projects. So this is being pitted field against tech room, and I'm just going to state that. It's not the first time we postponed. It's not the first time we've rescinded bids.
We have never rejected a bid that came in $120,000 under budget. And that's the thing that everybody seems to slightly forget.
I've been present at the buildings and grounds meetings pretty much from the beginning of this conversation. And I have to say, this has not been, the conversation has not been steered toward whether this is the best solution for the fields or not. The conversation has been steered as to, where can the money better be spent. And I do know we have capital reserve funds available. But you put out a project was put forth by a landscape architect, a reasonable project to fix the state of the fields. So if his proposal for fixing the state of the fields was not the best possible solution, what is the board's anticipation of the best possible solution, and where do you intend to get it?
Okay, first I take exception with the fact that you said that the buildings and grounds meetings were discussions of where we could better use the money. I don't think that's a fair summation.
The meetings were recorded, that would be very clear, but I've been sitting at those meetings.
Yes, you have been, but I think that maybe your hearing is a little selective. I'll go over it again. Mr. Benzavega has said publicly that this kills the project. The board's intention is not to kill the project. The board's intention is to be very prudent with the money that we have left in the bond. And so to make sure that we are getting the fields done and addressed the way they need to be addressed, we are rejecting this bid to see if there is another solution out there. Out of the last buildings and ground meetings that Mr. Benzavega summed up in his report, there was a suggestion from a community member that maybe we should investigate turf. So I think, I'll speak for myself, that that is a pretty significant conversation that should take place before we jump on and spend $600,000, $700,000 on a project that may not be suiting our needs.
One of my concerns at the last building we were allocating, I asked specifically, would this fit the drainage problem? And the gentleman answered, there would be alleviation to the drainage problem. The biggest problem is the use of the field, and the field needs to rest from the seeds. So no matter what we did within 3 to 5 years, when you look at 3 to 5 years, I think is what he said, but it was a number of years, short number of years, we would have to be doing this again, like we did last time, because we're not giving the grass time to grow, to reseed, and it becomes mud. So that is my concern with throwing this, not correct, but throwing light at this incorrectly. I want to hear about a solution. If that means we have to modify the use of the field, that's fine. We also talked about not seeding it using turf, and the field would be ready in the same amount of time. This field would be ready in the same amount of time if we chose to do that at a later date. There's an 18-month window where the fields would have to be not used. So those are my main concerns with putting money into the field at this moment.
just for the record, it would cost up to $4 million to turn the field.
49% of the state.
Right, but you got to get the $4 million up front, okay? Which means at $100,000 per sod, we could sod that field 40 times for $4 million, okay? It's about drainage, it's about grading. It's always been about that.
And
it's about usage, and you have to manage it, but it's not an insurmountable problem. Once you fix the grade, the grading and the drainage, you adjust it, and you may have to do something, but, you know.
I've watched this conversation go like through multiple stages, and some of the original objections to it were that the community would lose the field for 18 months, and that would be a problem for soccer or lacrosse, or that doesn't seem to be the issue anymore. Now the issue seems to be...
But that was never, that was never an issue. We knew going into those fields that they would be inoperable.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That was brought up several times.
Right, but not as an issue or as a reason not to do it. It was a point.
Okay. Liz, I'm not sure, was it 18 months for the seed?
Yes, 18 months for the seed.
For the seed to take hold, right?
Yes.
So
it
we would lose.
It was not usable for 18 months. And then they also suggest a rest area of the season.
Right, so we know we're going to lose the field for a while.
If you use sod,
no matter what we do.
Right, but we still have to rest it every year, and
that's
the problem. We never let it
has to be rested every year.
That's a different discussion.
So we do
right.
And so I've watched this conversation evolve, and so what are your plans next with it? If it's getting rejected tonight, I'd hate to sit here like a year from now and find out that we haven't really done anything. And so what is the board going to actively do now to search for a solution?
Well, I think we're doing the work study, and I think that we will have to have that very conversation. We need to find information about the other projects first and see where everything is lining up, and we'll have an answer.
So will this money be still set aside until you have found a solution, or will this money possibly be spent on other projects while you're searching for a solution? Can you say that next year when you know you find a solution, that this $720,000 that was slated for the field project will still be there?
Well, I can't give you a guarantee of that. Ms. Strasser, would you like to talk about it?
Yeah, but the fields will be done next year. You don't have a lead. We do not have the money unless we tap the capital reserve we don't have the money.
Well, you're talking about
tapping and the fields. You don't have it's in numbers here. And it's subtraction. It's not philosophy. It's not who's right or who's wrong. It's math. Unless you tap the extra sources of funding or gut the two other projects that you got, the windows and the site work, you don't have the money. It's as straightforward as it can be. And the board refuses to even consider the idea of using the capital reserve fund, which I still don't understand. We're sitting at $1.9 million, and we're $2.4 million in June, and we won't even consider a vote saying, "Hey, we had a room that was going to cost $340. Now it's going to cost anywhere between $970, or reduce it down. Let's say you get it down to $850. You still don't have the money."
But we're willing to use that money to look into doing turf. And you don't
you're
going to
get
that.
$4 million from who?
I don't know what I'm going to get. But if we're willing to talk to the state and talk to the county, and they're willing to give us money like they were years ago, they were about to give us a whole
deal. So here's the conversation.
I'm not fucking finished. Okay? So if they're willing to give us money, why would you not want to do turf? If they're willing to pay the difference, if we have $2.5 million and they're going to give us another $1.5 million, and I don't know if they will or not, I don't know if they will
right.
or not, but if they do, why would you not want to do that? Why would you not want to explore that?
If you ask anybody at any school district on Long Island in New York State, go into the state and say, gee, we had a voter-approved project
state
that we decided
here,
not to do
came here
10 years ago.
Okay, so what's the problem?
What happened?
Why would you not
explore
for 1 year?
What's
if you do see this year, you do see
it.
It
does.
Well, we're not doing sod.
Well, we're not doing anything.
Well, the voters approved seed. They approved seed. So
right.
We can't go with turf.
Sure,
we can.
We have $120,000 on the budget.
So they'll go out there and tell the board and tell the public
it's
that we're not doing.
Well,
we're doing the project.
You don't have the money. Where are you going to get the money?
Well, then I guess another project has to go.
Right. So you're going to cut something else that the voters approved rather than go to the capital.
Well, maybe
so
what we should have done, what we should have done is Roe Hall should have been gutted then, because that was $1 million.
Why would you gut anything?
The
you're sitting on money. You're sitting on the money.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm
sitting on the money.
This discussion can take place
minutes at Buildings and Grounds next week. I think that Nick, you're making a great point about following up and having the conversation. I don't think we should just shut the door on that idea. Is it feasible? Is it possible? We don't have the answer to that. Is it worth exploring? Well, considering we're talking about possibly saving taxpayers lots of money, yeah, I think it is worth it.
And it doesn't even work in the budget cycle. It doesn't even work in the budget cycle that the state's going to give you the money, right? When are you going to ask for the money? The field's going to happen. The project's going to have to be bid in the winter, okay? The project's not going to be bid in April when the state budget comes out.
So it doesn't say the time. You have no chance.
So when I say you don't have the money and you don't have the time, that's what I'm talking about.
One of the things we'll talk about next week is, which I was going to bring up in other business tonight, so I might as well bring it up now, is I think we should form a subcommittee to talk to those people and find out if it's feasible. And I don't think we should be dragging it out. I think if we get an answer in the next couple of months, you know what, guys, this is just not going to work, or we don't think the community's going to go for that, then we go back to the drawing board and we take it as it is.
And this is a question, I'm just asking. We have the money in the capital reserve fund. What is the objection to asking the community to use that money? I don't understand.
We might
I still
have to
don't
do
understand.
That at the end of the project. So,
then we'll do that for the windows and any other projects that need to be done. Okay.
So that's telling you we're going to ask them to appeals are
being done.
Right, you just said that. You're going to ask them to reapprove money that got spent already. We have the money ready for the windows. We have the money for the site work. We have the money for the field. So no, we're going to use the money in the tech room, which actually is a legitimate excuse. That's where we said we had X, now it's Y. You're going to go back to them and say, gee, listen, we spent the money on the windows, but we'd like to approve another $600,000.
So because the tech room came in over, you don't want
it
to...
It came in three times over now.
Yes, now.
And it's like, no, for you, I want to do it.
The kitchen came in over $1 million over.
And we knocked it back twice.
Okay, so it's still over.
Back and forth.
And not only that, Rome Hall came in $1 million over budget. Should we have shut it down and left it half done?
What are you talking about?
Mr. Mansmeyer, Mr. Matalta, we're going to let the residents ask questions. Thank you. We can have a very lively discussion on the 24th at B&G.
Good evening.
Hi.
My name is Andrew Miller. I haven't been here in a while because I got home.
Well, welcome. Picture
this. I'm not missing. Been a resident here 16 years. Two sons go to the school. My last one's graduating. So one thing I can say, the school has changed dramatically for the better. My question to the board is, what projects have gone over dramatically in price?
Okay.
By how much?
$500,000.
Well, $500,000
was more than that.
Right.
Close to
$1 million.
Right.
What about the kitchen in the high school?
Well, that hasn't started yet, but that's that
no, was good. It's about came in what $300,000 over.
The last
we had to send it back twice.
Okay. So my question is, do you have an engineering firm that's overseeing this project?
Yes.
Sure. Because the cost overruns in these things, and cost overruns do happen.
Yes, they do.
But your cost overruns for your program seem to be extreme. Do you agree that? Or are you going to say, no, you don't think so? Do you think that some of your projects are extreme cost overruns?
I wouldn't say the turf fields were extreme. The cost of turf fields went up. When it was budgeted in 2013, it was $1 million each. They came in at 1.5, and then they negotiated the breakdown. The roll-hole project, you know, I mean, the work that got done needed to get done.
It didn't need to get done. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, so, you know.
But my question is here as being, having the opportunity to actually come tonight.
Sure.
And to hear what's been going on. You know, I got to say that this board represents the community, the district, the students, and what's been going on recently is terrible. Some people acting like children. You know, I expect that we're all adults, that if, you know, you guys have subcommittees who runs the building and grounds, who runs different parts, you should be able to express your differences in public and not so discontent in the community. So basically my question to you is, how many projects does that bond have outstanding? Do we know?
Sure. We have probably, all in, about half a dozen. I don't have any answer to shoot.
Okay. So that's half a dozen. It's approximately, I'm not looking for, you know, an exact answer. How much money do we have left in the fund to complete the projects? And how much do you think it's going to cost, realistically, to complete these projects?
About
what's the short?
About $4 million is left.
Okay.
And
and what it's going to cost. I mean, you know, we'll find out, you know, when we bid that last $1 million.
So any of those questions when you have your committees, now are we looking for alternative funds to finish these projects? Because the thing going back and forth is, you know, lying to the community about tennis courts, what we're doing here, tech rooms. I think the tech room is a great thing. I think the fields over there should be done.
They need to be done.
But, listen, you know, my youngest kids, I coach soccer on those fields. They were always wet. You have gullies that go up and down. It's always been a problem. Always will be. You know, I'll speak for myself. I think throwing bad money just to sow the seed without doing it properly is the wrong way to do. I mean, I think we should figure out how we could drain that, properly drain and do it right from right the first time. But, you know, my concern is that we finish all the projects that you put forth in the community and that you do have grievances or you have issues, air it out in these meetings. You know, don't go to social media. We teach these kids, you know, to respect each other on social media, and I'll see it done by you guys, to be honest with you. So we all say it's all for the kids, for the community. All I'm going to say to you, preach what you sow, you know? Do it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And I apologize for making you wait.
Is this that I should bring up?
Yes.
Yes. Is it on the agenda?
Yes.
Well, it is about fields and pins. And just, I just wanted to make sure that you guys were aware that. Allison Bridges. I have kids in the grade school, kids in the elementary. And every day for recess, I just want to make sure that you're aware that the aides are holding the kids back from being on the field. And it has to do with the amount of goose feces that fall over the field and the wetness that's happening. And goose feces has E. coli among a bunch of other bacteria. And the aides are doing the right thing because they're holding the kids back off the field. But they're not getting their time out on the field. It's not just sports in the afternoon. It's the kids getting that recess and that break during the day, and they need that, and they want to run. He complains all the time about wanting to run. My other son is always complaining about not being able to, you know, they're holding him back on the field, and he's having laptop scrapes and things like that. So I just want to make you aware that that's going on.
I wish I had a solution for this.
But, like, that's a safety concern. Like, that goes beyond, it's a sports thing. That goes beyond that. This is safety. And if I scooped up some bacteria off the field now and sent it to a lab, what the heck's it going to say? As far as what's mingling there on the ground, as the ground is very wet. And that wet is holding that bacteria from there, and it's a big problem. And it's coming out of the kid's shoes, and it's on there, you know, he's getting on his skin, you know? And there's companies that come in and remove the goose feces and things like that as well. So even if it's not something that can be automatically sodded and fixed and done right away, what's being done to address it in that way so that the kids are safe and they have their playground time and they're getting that 25 minute break during the day that they can run and they're not sitting in a chair. And that's really an important part of learning. So I just want to bring that to your attention.
Thank you.
Hello, Amory Martino. I actually just want to piggyback on the goose feces, which was a big reason for turfing here at the high school. So I really would love to see that conversation fully vetted. And it's going to start, nobody here can start it, only you guys can start it. You have to start it by contacting everybody from the state on down. I know I made some inquiries with people that I know. They suggested which levels of government would be best suited, so I really hope that you would do that because that would be permanent solution. I can honestly say during my tenure as a board member and my years here as a resident that while doing anything to that field would be an improvement, if we could do that, that would fix it. And if that's our overall goal, we need to look towards that. And if it means possibly using money that we have already collected from the taxpayers that are in reserve funds, maybe that should be considered as well. And again, although it may cost $4 million, our cost is just under or over half of that. That's a huge savings to us and a wonderful opportunity. I do have a concern. I keep hearing parents come up that have kids in that building or those buildings, and I do not. I hear the safety word thrown around a lot. I now have concerns. I don't want to see a lawsuit. I know what they cost us. I've seen them in the past. Is this an issue? Should we pull the kids off the fields during the school day, after school, and everything else? I don't expect an answer right now, but if we're going to keep talking about the safety of those fields, I think you need to address it to the public, to the community, to the taxpayers. There's an email floating around, and I really would like a direct answer tonight from the superintendent or from Dr. Daly, if possible. The quote is, tampering of funds with regard to the bond. Is this a concern for the taxpayers? Are there any tampering of funds going on?
Not at all, and that's why we had our counsel here tonight, and that's why we investigated with bond counsel, because I heard that, and, you know, this board acts above board, you know, on everything we do. So if that's out there, we need to get the right information out. You know, Mrs. Martino?
All right, so it's a definitive answer, absolutely not.
Right, and that's why I brought up the investigation we did back in August of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And we have documentation from bond counsel, you know, which you heard Mr. Stefanetto reiterate tonight.
Great, thank you.
Other questions from visitors on the agenda items? Hearing no more questions, we have board discussion on the agenda items. Any questions are reserved for the board?
I'd like to pull item 1 and item 9 out of the consent agenda.
Are you making a motion?
I am making a motion. And also item 13.
Do you have a second?
Yeah.
I just want to pull down the omnibus. Just 3 months and then comments.
What were the numbers?
1, 9, and 13.
And that was just spent together and have a second line. All those in favor of removing, modifying the agenda, not modifying, I apologize, removing items, I didn't make a motion to omnibus yet. Approving Mr. Bensavenga's motion to make move
items.
I get that. Yes, I know.
Actually, no, hang on a second. I'm a little bit for the motion.
Okay? Withdraw the motion.
I have comments on three things.
So you don't want to omnibus that?
No. You can omnibus, and I have comments on three items. So are we doing board discussion?
Yes.
Okay. Item 1. The annual budget includes salary increase of the superintendent. Fiscally, no problem with that. She hasn't had a salary increase in a couple of years. It also includes salary increases for the deputy superintendent and assistant. It is not a significant enough thing to vote no on. It's just a procedural thing, something I want documented, that they also have received an increase last year and receiving an increase this year. I just want to note it and say I think this is something we need to think about going forward. Okay? I said all I need to say on item 9, so I'll just leave it at that. And then on item 13, I'd just like to thank the PTA for the donation of the fans to the elementary experiences.
I would also like to comment on item 13. I think it's great. Babylon schools have always had a very, very long-standing, very rich tradition of having a support TA, and I'm very thankful for that. I think we also need to thank the parents and the Babylon families who contribute very generously to the countless fundraisers that do occur. So without their generosity, the money and the funds would not be there. So I think, as well as the PTA, the parents and the families also deserve a thank you. So I'd like that on the record. I would also like to thank Mrs. Chase and Mrs. Lowe for their years of service to Babylon.
Yes.
And I think, I don't like to speak for all of us, but I think I can safely say that we all wish them a very happy, healthy retirement. Any other questions from the board? Okay, do I have a motion to omnibus items 1 through 13? Ms. Consenega, seconded by Mrs. DeLerba. All those in favor of omnibusing items 1 through 13? Do I have a all in favor, motion carries? Do I have a motion to approve items number 1 through 13 on the business agenda? Mrs. Doris, seconded by Mrs. Panay. All those in favor of approving items 1 through 13? Motion carries.
other business? Mr. Gosney? Board? Board motions? Item number 10, representatives from organizations.
Robinson Essie from Babylon K District 6 PTA. I want to say thank you to the board for accepting our donation of the fans for the teachers. We think that'll come in handy for not only teachers but also the kids in the classrooms. Other than that, we have just the end of year events coming up, including spring fling at the elementary school and a couple of great things for the sixth graders over at the grade school, including sixth grade barbecue, sixth grade dance, the moving up ceremony, all those good end of the year events, and of course field days at both schools that we're glad to support. That's it for us.
Thank you. Any other representatives from organizations? Okay. Item 11, questions or comments from visitors, please approach the podium and state your name.
Still Amory Martino. mine actually a comment to Mr. Banga's comment on raises. Dr. Daly and Mr. Pinko went about 4 or 5 years with no raise. And I think that should be noted as well.
Speaking of noting things, I apologize. I meant to vote no on item 9 and just got caught up in confusion on this. So this session, could you just make a note in minutes?
No, the omnibus
agenda.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
First thing I want to say is I appreciate the passion. I appreciate how hard everybody's working
Thank
up
you.
There. And what I absolutely know, everybody's being kind to each other all the time, nothing's getting done. And I know that the passion that I'm seeing is in the best interest of the students in that one. So I
appreciate that.
I'd like to see that. I have a written statement. I came here tonight to speak about the amazing job that's being done in the newly created A11 class at the grade school. In my opinion, this initiative has been an astounding success so far. Our new teacher, Daniela Lanzalata, is a shining star, and I'm sure she'll be in Babylon for a long time. For such a young teacher, she knows her game. From day one, she's taken control of this class and has run it like a seasoned pro. Early on, when I expressed concerns over a few outbursts by my son, she told me to be patient, that the repetition that she's embedded into the day will put him at ease, but it's going to take a little time. He's doing amazing work every day, she says, and she was right. Nicholas is doing things we never expected. For the first time in his life, Nicholas can respond appropriately to questions instead of just repeating questions back to the person who's asking. Questions such as, are you hungry? Are you upset? Does your belly hurt? Are now being answered with a resounding yes. And his ability to communicate his needs and frustrations to us has helped him to become calmer. Nicholas has learned to read simple sentences. He's learned to add and subtract. He's been able to quietly and appropriately sit through hour-long assemblies. As Mrs. Lanzalotta said, it's all in the repetition. But it's not only the repetition. It's the compassion, the kindness, and outstanding building-wide effort that's been put forth on a daily basis. Mr. K and Nick walk hand-in-hand to the classroom every morning. When they speak, they look directly into his eyes, and you know it's impossible for him to not feel that overwhelming sincerity. Before we came to Babylon as a family, we had almost completely abandoned our concerns over what he was learning, because when you have a child who can't tell you what his day was like, and you know that something is wrong because he's repeating for hours and pacing our halls, no bus, no school. You forget about the acquisition of skills, and you only want your child to be safe at that moment. I told Mr. Goldberg the first day of school, just keep my boy safe. Babylon has given our family the ability to dream about the future again, that one day he'll not only be able to live an independent life, but give back to the community that has welcomed him with open arms. But I have some concerns about our extended year program here in Babylon. It's been expressed to me that although Nick is appropriate to receive extended year full-day schooling, the district only will provide him with a 2.5-hour day of instruction, which is the minimum that the law will allow. If we'd like more than that 2.5 hours, he can go out of district. I'm here to tell you that it's not the right thing to do. 2.5 hours is just not enough to hold on to the progress that's been made this year. I can tell you that even over the break, regression begins to set in. The lack of structure that a school day provides creates anxiety. It inhibits his ability to transition, socialize, and remain calm and happy. Additionally, the opportunities that school provides our special education population to socialize cannot be underestimated. The continuous interaction between my son and his teachers forces him to use language to express himself. 2.5 hours is just not enough. Sending my son out of district is not something we would ever do again for a variety of reasons. Getting used to a new environment outside of Babylon can easily take 2 months for an autistic child before he's comfortable enough to learn. By then, summer could be over. Additionally, the oversight of programs that take place in district versus out of district are night and day. I know for a fact that Mrs. Consolo has her finger on the pulse of every special ed program that's taking place in here in Babylon. When we send our kids out, we're taking a risk. We didn't hire any of the teachers. We didn't design the programs. The classrooms are not observed by our administrators. We take a huge leap of faith when we send our kids out of district. And like so many other parents across Long Island, I'm no longer willing to accept this arrangement. My son belongs here in Babylon. I've compiled a list of districts who provide a full-day service for their extended year students, and I'd like to share it with you. It's Amityville, Bethpage, Santa Mariches, Comac, Half Hollow Hills, Huntington, Kings Park, Levittown, Massapequa, Montauk, Amagansett, North Belmore, Patchogue, Medford, Plainedge, Sachem, Shoreham, Wading River, Three Village, William Floyd. And this is just people volunteering this information. This is not a comprehensive list. And the interesting thing that I found out about this list is that it shows a diversity of schools. There's big schools, there's small schools, there's schools that receive very little state aid like us, there's schools that get a lot of state aid. And what it tells me is that we can do it here. And I'm asking the board to reconsider their position in the way they handle their extended year program for their special ed population. I'd like to see it be a full day like some of these other districts. It's the best thing for my son, it's the best thing for kids. Thanks.
Thank you.
I have a quick question for Councilor Gary.
Yes.
Is it possible to amend the minutes, or is my vote?
Mr. Bethway, you're going back to the
I'm going back motion. To the agenda, yeah.
Okay, so there was an omnibus motion, and if you voted, was it 7-0?
Yeah.
So then you can't change
the votes. Can't change the votes. Okay, it's 9-6. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
What you've done is you can have it noted in the minutes.
I can have it noted in the minutes.
Yeah, you can ask the district clerk to note it in the minutes that was the same.
This is about okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was a very heartfelt comment. Thank you.
Chair.
I appreciate it.
Linda, I would like to note it in the minutes. I'm going to sit. I'll speak to you after the
Hi.
Robert Show. After listening to this gentleman, this is the things we should be focusing on and knock off this romper room nonsense.
Questions or comments from the board? Ms. Storrs, I think you're right on the money. All right, future board meetings, we are going to be back here again next Monday, April 24th, 7:30. That is a work study. Mrs. Rossi, are we going to be devoting most of that to buildings and grounds?
I think we have to. We're going to be taking a look at the tech room redesigns.
to scale it back a little bit also?
Those were sent to us back in early April, so please make sure that you have looked at them before next Monday.
And we'll have estimates then for those?
No. They do that. Yeah. Mrs. Pinay is bringing up a good point. They need to review those plans with us, and then they bring it to the shop drawings, which gave...
Do they have a timeline, more or less?
I can't answer that right now.
The three contact rooms, they were, I just remember an email, that's what I said, they were discussed with Mr. Sloan and the contact room.
Yep.
They had input in those redesigns?
Yes.
Yes. I believe it was April 2nd or April 3rd that the email came through.
Right, I just wanted to make sure that, because one of the plans was one that I believe everyone was comfortable with, that was in that discussion.
But they were also discussed in the parking lot.
Yes.
Okay, after that, the next day, there's a special meeting, Tuesday, April 25th, 4 o'clock here at the library for the BOCES budget vote trustee election. We will need 4 board members, so please confirm.
That's April 25th?
That's
yes,
the day of.
A week from tomorrow.
I know that I can't do that.
Okay, so just let Mrs. Tesci know tomorrow. Tuesday, April 25th, 4 o'clock.
We do need 4 trustees to have a quorum.
I will not be.
I'm working. I can actually meet that day.
If you send me a reminder, I just.
Okay. And then Monday, May 8th is a regular business meeting. That will be the official budget hearing meeting. That is also at 7:30. And that's it for now. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Before you make that motion, I just have a chance to do some quick research on this Robert's Rules question. So I wanted to adjourn before that. It says under Robert's Rules, which this district does not strictly follow, I think you're guided by it, you don't have a policy that says you must follow it. The question was, can a member change his vote? And the answer is only with permission of the General Assembly, and permission that can be granted by general consent or on a motion to grant permission to change the vote. So if the board wants to allow Mr. Pennsylvania to change his vote on that item, the problem is that item number 9 was part of the group. So it would have to really be changing the whole vote on the, if he wanted to change his vote on all of the items that were grouped together, the General Assembly, the board could allow him to do that.
That's fine. I think that just changed the vote if the board agrees.
Do you mind saying no to everything?
Yeah, I don't really want to, but I feel like a jerk. It is what it is.
It's all done?
The warning, we've got to do it now.
Do we have to agree to let him change the vote? Is that what we have to do?
Yes, it could simply be by the president asking the board if they have any objection to Mr. Pennsylvania changing his vote from yes or no. The omnibus motion for items 1 through 9.
Does the board have any objection to Mr. Bensavenga changing his vote on the omnibus motion for items 1 through 13?
No.
It's not. All those in favor of allowing
What's the vote? No.
Everything.
No, I don't agree.
Is that the unanimous?
Again, it's up to the board whether they want to grant it. They need 4 out of 7.
So I can vote or not?
You can vote.
Okay, then I vote yes.
All those in favor of allowing Mr. Bensavenga to change his vote to no on the omnibus agenda 1 through 13? All those against?
And I'm just saying that because of the resignations, I take it.
Do I have a motion to adjourn? Mrs. Jores, Mrs. Tillerba, all those in favor? Motion carries.